All right. Thank you, Tiffany. It made me think of the verse that says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Amen. Boy, oh boy, on the other side, it's going to be something, isn't it? Well, it's my privilege tonight to introduce to any of you that might not know him, Brother Emory King. He's been a friend of our ministry here through all these years. How long have you been there at Faith Baptist, Brother King? Got to count them?
41 years and 2 months.
41 years and 2 months. That's a while. You young men hear that. And I've been knowing Brother King all those years, I believe. And I've been here just a little longer than that myself, but he's been our friend. He's a friend of preachers. Does a great job when we have a preacher's meeting up there. I'm going to tell you what, they'll feed you up there in the country. It's up there north of Webster in Sumter County, and just good old country area. And God has some great, great folks up there. We appreciate Brother King taking off from his church tonight to start our Bible conference for us. And we just appreciate him doing that, and we'll get to see him some during the week. And folks, if y'all will put something into this, you'll get something out of it. God will send you some spiritual food as you hear the preaching this week, and just make an effort to be here. Brother King, it is so good to have you. Naturally, he got caught in Haines City traffic. Can you believe that? A wreck or something out here kept him out here just a little ways from us. But that happens more often, don't it? Amen. But we're glad he's here tonight. Come on, Brother King. God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Carter. It's an honor to be here tonight. If you take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 10, please. I left in plenty of time and got on 27 just before I got into town. And the south lane traffic was bumper to bumper, and there was a fender bender, and I think the reason that there was such a traffic jam, I think people were looking for blood. People like to see blood, don't they? And just see if they can see blood and guts, and that's sad. But it's just a fender bender, and I was thankful for that. Two things I like to do. Brother Carter, I'd like to give you a little gift here. And I know one of his heroes and one of my heroes was President Ronald Reagan. I thought President Reagan did more for traditional America, America as we know it, America as it was founded. And President Reagan, he wanted to appoint enough Supreme Court justices to turn everything around. That was his goal as president. He wanted to appoint true, traditional, original intent, constitutional interpretation to bring America back where it used to be. And he wanted to appoint those justices. I believe if Judge Bork could have got there, he would have been a super duper one. And they blackballed him, fought him, and we know all that. And but that was his desire, to overturn Roe versus Wade, yes, and also to put prayer back in our public schools and God back in our public schools. The prayer is in the schools, especially when the bullets start flying. Amen. But I'd like to present a pen with a replica of President Reagan's personal signature. And Brother Carter, God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
Also, our church wanted to help celebrate the 40th anniversary of Landmark Baptist College. Brother Carter, here's a $400 gift to the college. God bless you. I hope other churches would do that. Me and so many of my preacher brethren, we discussed the concern that the colleges that we can truly recommend, you could probably almost count them on one hand. And it's sad that we're there. I'm talking about true Baptist Baptist colleges, true local church, true King James, true separated from the world colleges. And they're far and in between. And I appreciate Landmark Baptist College. And, of course, Brother Carter, he pastored in Gant Lake Baptist Church in the 60s. And that's not about 5 miles from me. And but, you know, the fruit that the Lord blessed Brother Carter's ministry is still there. I still meet people. Of course, they're older now. But they said, well, you know, I was saved under Brother Carter's ministry. And how many people have told me? And when Brother Carter, when we're able to have him in our church, so many of those people that were saved under his ministry attends the conference. I know Wayne Harris, a lot of his family was saved. Wayne's part of our church and others. And so, you know, the Bible says that our works do follow us, and I hope that's so for me and also for you. Of course, this is Veterans Day weekend as we honor the veterans. How many veterans we have? Would you raise your hand? Veterans, God bless you for your service. Amen. We are pro-military. I told the church this morning I will not vote for anyone that will not support our military and equip our military to do the job. There's no war that we cannot win. They say that we should have took care of Vietnam in 2 or 3 years. And the politicians, of course, got their grubby hands in it. And that's the reason we ended up the way that we did. I just had a memorial service for a 40-year-old Iraqi Afghanistan veteran. He committed suicide. And I guess that was probably the most touching veterans memorial service that I ever had. I do a lot of services over at the Bushnell Veterans Cemetery. I'm just 15-20 minutes away, and I've done hundreds of them over there. And but I've never was touched like I was a couple weeks ago. His comrades were there that served in Afghanistan. His commander was there that served with him there in Afghanistan and Iraq. We opened up the floor for any of them to share a personal note of their life and relationship with this 40-year-old veteran. It'll break your heart. Every one of them has been emotionally, mentally affected. One of my men this morning, he was a Korean War veteran, and he was in the paratroopers. And they would paratroop him in North Korea during the Korean War. They would parachute these guys behind enemy lines in North Korea. To survive that is a miracle within itself. But we do support missionaries. But when I heard those military, when I heard those testimonies of those servicemen, of their life relationship with this 40-year-old young man, you could tell that they were touched and emotionally affected for the rest of their life. And their family is affected also. And you know, Brother Carter, I just became more angry with Washington, because here they are acting like a bunch of kids in a sandbox fighting over their toys. It just burns me up. Amen. You know, I know in the flesh we cannot please God, but we all get in the flesh sometime. And I told the church this morning, it slipped out. Of course, they clapped. I said, I like to take I like to take him into a room. And I like to get one of those old principal paddles about like that thick with holes all in it, and beat his rear end. That's exactly what he needs. And just tell him, buddy, you go at it again, you'll get it worse this next time. I think it was in 1992, Patrick Buchanan, a conservative writer, said, he spoke at the Republican National Convention, and he made this statement, and oh, was he ridiculed, but it was very true. Patrick Buchanan made this statement. He said, there's a battle for the soul of America. And they are, and who's going to win? I love Onward Christian Soldiers marching as to war. We are in a war. Paul said, I fought a good fight. Well, what's a good fight? It's a fight you win. Now, we can't win, or excuse me, we cannot lose for winning. We're going to win anyway. And I tell our people, we'll have another election unless the Lord comes, and I'm looking for Him, aren't y'all? I told our church, I'm looking for Jesus to come every day. I'm living to go to heaven every day of my life, because one day I will. And so, you know, it's the spiritual war that we're in, and I want to be right there. Brother Carter, I was wondering, where's the First Baptist of Orlando? Where's Ottawa Baptist in Tampa? Tampa and Orlando are two of the biggest Sodom and Gomorrah cities that there are. But where's those influential churches at? Orlando is one of the big LGBTQ loving, supportive, accepting cities that they are in America. And for a long time, whenever something of these issues would come, the First Baptists and other Baptists and others would pack out the county commission or the city commission room and building. But this about 3-4 years ago, when this issue came up again, no one showed up. No one showed up. Tampa's got the first lesbian mayor, Castor. And she said she wanted to, one of her political pledges was to expand the LGBTQ businesses with city contracts and what have you. Where was the first Ottawa Baptist? The big, prestigious, influential church. Now here I'm in Little Webster. We got about 1,100 people. On Monday, tomorrow, we'll have probably about 30,000. Two-lane highway, no red lights. But during the winter, we'll have as many as 100,000, believe it or not. I stay out of Webster during that time at all. But we had a mayor that tried to bring in a homosexual. Here's Little Webster, Country Webster, Rural Webster. And they had a meeting on Wednesday, basically to keep me from coming. It was at 6 o'clock. Me and my dad went. And the mayor was trying to bring this homosexual in to be the police chief of Webster. And so me and my dad went, and so we were sitting there, and the mayor was stalling everything and prolonging everything. She spent an hour bragging about him. Then he got up there and bragged about himself, and it was almost so. I said, Daddy, I'm not leaving. I said, going to the church, y'all go ahead and conduct the service. I'm not leaving till I'm able to stand. And I did stand. And we are in a spiritual war. The question is, who's going to win? If they can stand, we can stand. If they can be vocal, we can be vocal. There's a God phobia. Have y'all heard that? There's a God phobia. There's a Christian phobia. There's a Bible phobia. There's a church phobia. Amen. But I'm going to talk a little bit tonight concerning being a soldier. I told my church this morning, I did not serve in the military. I started with Publix as a teenager. And, of course, I came from a great Christian home, always and an independent fundamental Bible-believing church. I don't ever remember a time that we did not have the sword of the Lord. Dad, of course, back then, you know, there was a lot of religious radio stations, and so many of them were almost fully Christian, that they would have Oliver B. Green. And I remember when I was a boy, I would take my little portable tape recorder, and Dad would turn on the radio at night. I think at 7 o'clock, Oliver B. Green came on, and then at 7:30, Brother Roloff came on, and I would take my little portable tape recorder, and I would set it right beside the radio, and I would tape those sermons. I had good reason. I have no excuse but standing the way that I stand. I was discipled. I was trained. And I feel this way, Brother Carter. I have a responsibility to be loyal, to continue the faith that was given to me. And I don't want to let them down. They're not here anymore. Well, God's left us here to carry on the work of the Savior in that way. But my life was settled as a teenager. I was going to be a public store manager. And that was my goal. And if the first thing I did when I turned 18, I went to register for the draft. If my country would have called me, I would have went in the drop of a hat. But my life was settled, and my future was settled. And so I didn't get to spend any time in the military. But I've always supported the military. Sometimes, I told the church this morning, sometimes I feel bad because I didn't serve. Because I love my country, I love the flag, and I love the military. But then, as I look in the scriptures, I am a soldier. I'm a Christian soldier. I'm a soldier of the cross. I'm a soldier of the word. I'm the soldier of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm a soldier of righteousness and holiness. Now, I'm not there, but like the little children's song goes, he's still working on me every day. Amen. I used to feel bad coming up. Years ago, I mean, you know, I was just ate up with all my failures and weaknesses. And I condemned myself before the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm this, I'm that. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. You know how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. It's not audible, but it's just as real as audible. Amen. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. And the Holy Spirit seems as though it spoke to me because I was so hard on myself. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and reminded me, Emory, you don't have your glorified body yet. And you don't have your glorified mind yet. But that is to come. That is to come. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 7, would you read that verse out loud with me, please? Acts chapter 10. In verse 7, as we read out loud, please. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. What a statement. A soldier is one who is engaged in service. A soldier is one who is enlisted. A soldier is a worker. A soldier is a follower. We see here that he was a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. The greatest servant, and the Bible says that he called two of his household servants, the greatest servant, an example of a servant's life is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's so hard. I know you don't have the problem here, but I do finding workers and volunteers and those that are willing to do something in the church without griping and complaining. I tell you, if people gripe and complain, I let them go. I don't want to hear it. You know, Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but he said, I came to serve. You know, Jesus set the example for us in the humility and the compassion and the love in washing his disciples' feet. Humility, serving. Why can't we return that unto our Savior? We're not worthy for him to serve us, but he certainly is worthy for us to serve him. A devout soldier of Jesus Christ is one who waits, the Bible says, on others continually. We need to be such a soldier to our Lord Jesus Christ. Be faithful to him. We need to be such a soldier to the true and living God. We need to be a true soldier to God's holy word. Now, the Bible is forever settled in heaven, but isn't it fun to defend it? Amen? I mean, you know, upon this rock, Jesus said, and I believe it was a local assembly of born-again baptized believers. I know what a Baptist is. Amen? That's the reason I'm a Baptist. It's not universal, but it's local. It's not invisible, but it's visible. You know, Brother Carter, I'm surprised that through the years, some preachers have said, don't say that too loud. Boy, I got involved with a fellowship years ago, and matter of fact, the guy, well, I'm not going to tell you where he went to school, but he was an older gentleman, and he was nice and all, and he said, well, I'm gonna suggest that you be the moderator, and I was. And I said, well, everybody's supposed to be independent Baptist. So everybody's King James, and everybody's local church, and everybody's true Baptist with a capital B. Well, matter of fact, this guy right here, he got me in trouble. Years ago, Bill Watson had you down in Leesburg, and I was moderator at the time. And Brother Bill asked Brother Carter to preach on the King James Bible. And I had this guy, and I'll just give the initials, BJ. But this guy got in my face as red and angry as all get out. And he didn't like it. And I told him, I said, well, that's what we are. That's what we are. I'm not cowing down to him. If I'm going to be a soldier, I want to be a good one. I want to be a faithful one. Brother Hiles preached the message, God only uses wounded soldiers. Wednesday. I was so tired and I was so wore out, and I told God, I hate feeling like this. I get sick of feeling like I feel, and I felt bad because I felt bad. And you know what? Again, the Holy Spirit, you know that voice within. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? Emery, you should feel that way after 41 years. Right? Hey, if you're in a fight, you're going to have scars. Right? If you're in a fight, you're going to have bruises. If you've been in a fight, you're going to have hurt. A preacher hurts every day of his life. Every day. The right preacher, the God-called preacher, the God-called under-shepherd of that local New Testament church, everyone that walks through these doors, the pastor gives his heart to everyone that walks in those doors. Now, I'm in the country. I'm a mile north of a town of 1,100. We've had over 3,000 profess faith, more than our city. And we've had thousands of people come to those doors, and we don't come close to running 1,000. I want you to know that. But you know what I've learned also, Brother Carter? that we've had enough people saved that we ought to be running 1,000. We're to have a college. We ought to have a Christian school. All the buildings that we've needed, we should have already had them built. Our bus ministry should be, and we did at one time, we covered the whole four corners of Sumter County. But then, you know, the laborers became few. And you got to have laborers to work the bus ministry. Thank God ours is revived up. And I'm glad, because I miss the bus ministry. Boy, when our bus ministry is going strong, boy, everywhere I went, my old head was just looking back and forth, looking for another bus, looking for another van to bring men and women, boys and girls to the house of the Lord. Amen. We got older folks. We've got a little lady that's about that high. Her name is Miss Sandra. And bless God, she has a rough time getting in on the van. And Miss Betty, she has a rough time getting on the van. So the Lord opened up the door for us to get another shuttle bus. And that first step is not that far from the ground. Man, we want to reach people. We're a soldier. We're a representative of the Lord Jesus. I can't be one here, but I can be one there. And God expects us to represent Him where we are. A devoted soldier, a true soldier, is devoted to the true biblical, scriptural Christian life. I know what Christianity is. Listen, they're trying to redefine everything. They're trying to redefine Christianity. I know what Christianity is. I've read the B-I-B-L-E. Did not the Bible say, and by the way, it came from the world, that they were first called Christians at Antioch. They were different than anybody else. And God expects us to be different than anybody else. If you see a Muslim lady coming down the road, you know. And what do we want to do? We want to step back, go in when she's got a bomb on her. Right? And God loved these Quakers, and God loved them. You know, when I was a little kid, I said, Mom, I said, what's that coffee filter doing on the back of that lady's head? Y'all seen that? But they're different. And we ought to be different in 2019. Amen? We're in the world, but not of the world. We can't win anybody being like them. We have a responsibility to be a true soldier concerning the true biblical, scriptural Christian life and life of separation. We're separate. And you know, some people, oh, I don't like that. I don't like going to a church that has standards. I don't want my young people to go to the youth department that they have some standards. I don't want my children to go to youth camp because they've got standards. People's got the wrong idea about standards. People listen to the devil too much. And they're too fleshly that they're no heavenly good. Listen, standards and separation is not to take away life, but to give life. It's not for you to walk around like an old sour pickle, but walk around with joy. I'm glad we can have the privilege of separating ourselves from the world to our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to be like thee. That's what a Christian is, by the way. A follower of Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is. But they're trying to redefine everything. Well, we're to define it the right way, the traditional way. They're trying to redefine the Bible. Look at all these ungodly so-called translations. They're junk. Boy, I got a boy now, Brother Carter. He's 30-something years old, got two beautiful children. And I remember years ago, his mother told him to come up on the platform. Oh, God love him. And I could pick him up. Now he can pick me up. And I reached down and I picked up Kent and I picked him up, and his mother said, asked him what he thinks of other Bibles but the King James. And I put him next to the mic. He said, they're junk. They're junk. Hey, things that are different cannot be the same. I've got about every so-called translation that they are. And years ago, I brought a sermon, and I put all those translations on a table by the pulpit. And I said, and I read the names of all the so-called translations, and they were all different. Right. Well, how can they be the same? Yes. And I'm going to say this, and I mean this with all my heart. I'll tell you what's changed my life is faith in that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I share with my church again this statement. This is how much I believe this book. That if I did not believe this book was from heaven and preserved and perfect, you wouldn't see me here. I hate to say it, but listen, Paul said, I know that is in me dwelleth no good thing. I echo what Paul said. I'm the chiefest of sinners. We're rotten people. You know that? We're sinners. We're subject to do anything, live anyway, talk anyway. But I want to tell you this, if this word was not the word of God, I'd be the biggest hellion there was. The word of God will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the word of God. This book right here, believing it and practicing it, will keep you from sin. It will keep you from sin. It will keep you on the straight and narrow. They're trying to redefine the word of God and all these psychological radio preachers. They're so smart, but they're so wrong. There's even in our fundamentalism, some of them are, these preachers are already in heaven, but they were wrong on so much. They had a DD here and a DD there and a TH there and this degree there. They had so many degrees, they look like a thermometer. And they're wise men and very talented men of ability. But then you start finding out what they really believe about the Bible. They don't believe it. Now they'll hijack the word Baptist or they couldn't have a church. Right? And I remember years ago, brother, you know, at the close of Brother Hiles' life, he started touching on the King James more and being a Baptist more. You remember that? And Brother Hiles preached down in Pinellas Park, and I was the moderator also at the time. And so me and Dr. Hugh Pyle, which is just like my granddad, I had him during the meeting. This preacher down in Pinellas Park had Brother Hiles. And so he said, Brother, do you have a fellowship scheduled for this date, this month? I said, no. He said, well, I'd love to host it. I said, okay, we'll have Hiles and Pyles, you know. And Brother Hiles started, and I believe he did at camp too, maybe. I believe he did at camp. That he talked about fundamentalism, Protestants, Baptists. And what he said was true, whether you liked it or not. You had to agree. It's absolutely true, biblically and historically true. And boy, did he rile up people. But listen, soldiers don't turncoat. We soldiers, listen, I don't have a white flag. I'm never going to have a white flag. I'm going to keep the flag flying for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they try to redefine the church. Everybody's the church. Everybody that's saved is the church. I get so sick of that. You got to be born again. You got to be a believer and follow in believer's baptism. And you've got to have a local New Testament church to receive you into membership. And to that local spiritual body. You're here because of the Holy Spirit. You didn't say, any, meeny, miny, mo, I'll choose Landmark Baptist. No. Well, if you did, you're not happy, or there's going to come a time you're not going to be happy and you're going to church hop. But if you're here because of the leadership, you prayed and said, Lord, I want you to send me to the and lead me to the right Christ-centered New Testament church. where I can be fed with the truths of God's word and my family. Lord, lead me. He will lead you. I've got a lady in my church. She's been a member. We started with 29 people. And we had 29 my first Sunday because, and what a crowd 29 was, they just had to check out the new preacher. Now, we dropped under 29 the following week. But out of 29 people, me and my mom and daddy's the only one left. We had a quite older church. But I do have members that's been there 38 years and 39 years, working the bus ministry, teaching Sunday school, winning boys and girls in their Sunday school class for the glory of God. They try to redefine the church. I want to tell you something. When me and Brother Smith was here in September, boy, I soaked it in like a sponge. I really enjoy being here. We got the same kind of music. We sang hymns and spiritual songs at Faith Baptist. Amen. And this is why I'm an independent Baptist. Amen. I love it. I love it. This is what I am. And I don't mind telling people. They said, well, you know, we're not too much on King James. I said, well, that's what our church is. And I'm not a smart aleck. But, hey, I'm not going to back off. I'm not ashamed of the scriptures. Well, we like going to that first church because, you know, they have the drums and they have, you know, they have the praise. And no, this kind of so-called praise, all you have to do is watch Britney Spears or some of the ungodly rock and rollers. That's what they do. You know, Brother Hiles made a statement that never left me. He said, everything out of the devil's garbage can stinks. Now, where did they get that contemporary music from? The devil's garbage can. They didn't get it out of the Holy Scriptures. There's nothing holy about rock and roll music. And I go as far as say that they have acid rock. I know what acid rock is. Never was a lover of it, never listened to it, but I've heard it. And they have literally acid rock in some of these churches. They're trying to redefine the music. I want to tell you something. If you are in the United States Army, you wear United States Army uniform. During the division of our country, during the Civil War, one side had the blue, one side had the gray. Wouldn't it be we lost over 600,000 during the Civil War. Boy, can you imagine if they wore the same suits, how many we would have lost? Well, during World War II, our uniforms looked different than the Nazis. So we could pinpoint the enemy. And then also we knew who our friends were and our comrades were. And that's how we're to know that we dress alike, act alike, believe alike, that we're on the same team, we're in the same army. Wear the proper uniform. We got to honor the head as soldiers. We got to catch the soldier spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit. The rallying spirit, the charging spirit in our lives is the Holy Spirit. Use the Holy Spirit. You know, when you get down, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. If you get, and I get depressed, you do too, everybody does. But I don't stay there. If you like it, help yourself. I always tell our folks, if you have a depressing pity party, don't invite your preacher. Now, I do. I mean, you know, Brother Carter, years ago, preachers would hide that. And you young preachers today, you will face depression. You will face discouragement. But I believe it's an end-time demonic attack on men of God and also the people of God. It's demonic. And I learned the hard way because, man, I faced it real bad. And I said, Lord, I feel like I'm dying, and I don't want to die. I want to live. And God revealed the truth to me that I can live in Christ. The living Holy Spirit, submit to it. Yep. Submit to the Word. Look and live. Look to Christ Jesus and live. Christ is life, not death. Get close to Christ. Stay close to Christ, and you'll live, and you'll win the victory when depression comes. It may come, but it won't stay. And I mean that. This is so important for all of us to know that. There's victory over depression. You don't have to, yes, you'll face depression. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to live there. You can have victory over it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, we true soldiers, we never go AWOL. I preached on that years ago, and we had some strawberry farmers in our church. And he would come once in a while, and he happened to come that night. And I touched on going AWOL from the Lord. And then the next day I was going to by their strawberry field, and she was by the fence, and I pulled over to say hello. Oh, my husband, he said he'll never come back to church. I said, well, what in the world did I do? Well, you touched on going AWOL. He went AWOL during the Vietnam War. I said, I didn't know it. But he did wrong. He did wrong. Listen, true soldiers never go AWOL, absent without leave. Listen, true soldiers never turn yellow, never gives in, never gives out, never gives up. We never surrender. We don't have a white flag. Thank God, Fort McHenry. Listen, the Star Spangled Banner, as the fort was being bombarded, Francis Scott Key penned these words, and the flag was still there. There's a lot of smoke going out there. There's a lot of smoke in the battle, but bless God, the flag is still there at Landmark Baptist Church, Landmark Baptist College, Faith Baptist, and thank God many more. Hallelujah for that. Never surrenders. The true soldier knows who the enemy is. I always tell our folk, if there's a skunk around, I can smell it. And there's a revival of skunks about that. Daddy and Mama had a nest among their trailer, and so did one of my ladies. And I said, man, I smell that skunk. I wonder where he is. I hope he don't get too close. But if there's a skunk, I can smell it. See, we know who the enemy is. We know who the enemy is in Washington. We know who the enemies are to the church and to the Word of God. We know who they are. And by the way, I prepared my church in case Hillary won. Now, she made this statement. I heard her with my ears and saw her with my eyes. She made this statement, and they didn't want it to get out, but it did, that she said, if we Christians, we Christian right, evangelicals, which we're not, right, said, well, if you don't change your faith, Hillary said, we'll change it for you. And she meant through the courts. Well, you know, we're all civil people, and this government and these liberals and socialists better thank God that we as Christians and we as Bible-believing churches all over this country, they better thank God, and all the gun owners and the Bible toters, they better thank God that we're civil people, because they've never knocked on our door. But bless God, they're going to hit a stone wall if they try to knock on this church door or Faith Baptist church door. Number one, we've got a God-given right to exercise our faith. And because of the Constitution that was biblically principled, we have the right to worship. And Congress shall make no law restricting the establishment of a religion. We have the right to bear arms. We will be defiant because of God and our Constitution. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. The true soldier knows the reason and the cause for the battle. Like David said, the battle is the Lord's. It's real, it's deadly, and it's full of casualties. Then also the true soldier never lets the flag touch the ground. Never quits. Seeks to keep the flag held high. And then lastly, you know, Yeah, we'll, if we live long enough, we're gonna lose another election. We all know that. But I'll be honest with you, I don't like it. I won't like it when it happens. But I'm gonna keep on serving God. I'm still gonna be happy. Cause see, the true soldier. And we might lose a skirmish. We may lose a little fight. We may lose an election. We may lose a court ruling, but we're going to never lose the war. Hallelujah for that. And see, we're going to be raptured out, and they can have it. They can have it. But while we're here, we're going to fight. We're going to fight the good fight of faith. And in closing, the true soldier longs for the final victory over the enemy and over the adversary, and longs for the day there'll be no fighting or war, but now it's fighting time. It's spiritual war. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual war that's going on. And we have the most powerful one, the all-powerful one, Almighty God, and His Son, the Lord Jesus, and the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. If it can save our soul from the fingers of Satan and give us victory over hell and death and the grave, then the Holy Spirit of God can do anything. I'm going to wave the flag. I'm not going to have a white one. I'm never going to go AWOL. And I'm looking for the day that the final battle will be. But I'm going to fight it until God calls me home. Amen. Lord, we love you tonight. Oh, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be saved, to be a child of God, to belong to the family of God through faith in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of experiencing believer's baptism, signifying the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. And Lord, thank you for the local spiritual body called the local New Testament church that received me into membership as a 13-year-old boy, entrusted me to be a supporting member, a faithful member, a working, laboring member. Thank you for the churches that you've blessed my heart with through the years. Thank you for allowing me to be a preacher, a pastor of one of your local New Testament churches. Lord, thank you for the privileges you've given me to meet some of the giants of the faith of the generation that has passed. And Lord, raise up another generation. These young preachers and these young ladies that have devoted themselves to full-time Christian service. Father, fill them with Thy Spirit tonight. Lord, make aware to them very clearly the vision, the place of service that you wish for them. Continue to bless my brother Carter. Bless him with health. Bless him with strength. Make him strong, dear Jesus, as he not only leads this ministry, but as he is a shining light of truth throughout this country. He's such a challenge and a blessing to all of us. Bless him. Bless Brother Parson. Bless all the staff. Bless this church. Bless them in a special way. Give us victory, Lord, as we await Thy coming. In Jesus' name we pray, and God's people said, amen and amen.
Let's stand, please. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it. We are soldiers. Bible says a soldier doesn't go to warfare really at his own expense. God's the one that commissions us and sends us. It also says we're not entangled with the affairs of the world. If you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to separate from this old world. You're going to have to be willing sometimes to suffer a little bit, to hurt a little bit. Maybe to be falsely accused or abused some way, but hey, listen, I don't want to go to heaven on a bed of ease. I don't want to be ashamed before the Lord. I want to stand for what He wanted me to stand for down here. It's a good message for us to think on tonight. It's true, too many of God's soldiers are AWOL. They're finding an easier way to hide instead of holding the line, as our sign says here tonight. Holding the line. When the enemy comes against us, he's looking to find a weak spot in the line. You know that? I don't want to be that weak spot. Maybe tonight the invitation ought to be, Lord, I want to re-in up. I don't want to be on furlough. I want to be on the front line serving God. Amen. Brother King had preached a great message to us, and I appreciate him through the years of doing just what we're talking about tonight, holding the line. He and I both have been in preacher's meeting when we saw compromise taking place. I'm glad he didn't bend. I'm glad he held his part of the line, and so many others. The line is still strong. The devil would like for us to think we've all folded. No, we haven't. It's just as strong as it was when I first started preaching in many places. Oh, yeah, some have caved in. But bless God, that don't mean the rest of us have to. Amen? Thank you, Brother King, for the message tonight. Stirred a few members in me, too, and I recognize that sometimes the easy thing, the thing the flesh wants you to do, is just find a shade and hide in it and kind of let things pass over. Brother Emery, you might remember one of the preacher's meetings. You know, you get vibes when you're preaching back sometimes. You're probably in the meeting when I said something about that. I said, I want to tell you fellas something. I'm standing where we all used to stand. Now tell me who moved. That wasn't the most popular statement, but they got the point. Amen. Thank you for not moving, Brother King. Thank you for not moving. Amen. All right, this is the start of our Bible conference tonight, tomorrow night. Let's be here. Get it going. We're looking forward to it. Invite folks to come with you. And we're gonna have a good Bible conference. We got a lot of good preachers coming and putting some work in it. Brother King, we appreciate that donation for the college, too. Yes, these young men want to know what we're going to do with it. Well, I tell you, we're not going to give it to you. We'll find a higher purpose. Amen. But we do appreciate it. Sure do. Amen. All right. Glad you come tonight. Tell somebody about it. Let's be back. Hey, didn't we change the time when we were going to come back? What did we say we changed it to? 6:50-something. 59, was that it? 6:59. All right, amen. God bless you. Shake hands with somebody and let's be dismissed.